here we are. It's Monday morning, and the time is 1:35. That's 25 minutes to 2. It's very early in the morning, and I'm waiting for my good friend John G., another New Zealander, another Kiwi, born and bred, who's going to join me, and we're going to have a bit of a chit-chat about some of the things that have been bothering us in the news this week. Wow, all sorts of crazy things happening in this stupid little country we live in. If you may have, I don't think you would have heard my last podcast because, no, you probably wouldn't have. And it's been a little while since I've been here anyway. But here we are. We're back on the old pod bean and waiting for John G to join us. And we're going to talk about all sorts of crazy things that are going on in the news in this country. One of the funniest things that I saw was, oh, look at that, gay Chippy. That's our Prime Minister. Good grief. Is Chippy gay? Do you think he is? Is that why? Chippy's our Prime Minister. It's Chris Hipkins, but we call him Chippy. He's a bit of a twit. But anyway, no, the funny thing was we've got now, the Maoris have taken over the country. While you've all been enjoying yourselves in America and wherever else you are in the world, the indigenous so-called indigenous people, which none of them are really, because they're all bloody European, aren't they? With just a little tinge of the olive brush, and they're calling themselves Maori because it's actually, you know, quite well. What is it? I think they get paid. I think they get all sorts of benefits if they call themselves Maoris. They get Maori loans and all sorts of things. Of course, most of them never take it up, but you know, a lot of the opportunities they get as you know, being called Maori and the so-called indigenous people. But John and I are going to talk about that. So we're going to have a good old chat about that. But one of the funny things that we talked about earlier, just before we came on this podcast, was there's these police cars. Apparently they're police cars, but they've got some funny name on them. It's a Maori name, I suppose. I can't remember it, but John might be able to remember it. Are you there yet, John, or am I just...
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, you are there. How can you be on when I can't see you?
No.
Oh, no, you are there. Yes. We were just having a bit of a laugh about that police car. I guess it's a police car. It just looked like sort of like a gay sort of, I don't know, it looked very colourful, didn't it? The car, and it had some name on it. What do you think it was? Maori Warden?
If they were trying to pull me over, I would probably just keep going because I can't recognise some sort of authority that I can't spell the name for.
Well, you'd have a good case when you stood before the judge, as long as it wasn't Judge Brown, the old Maori judge that used to let all the Maoris off and lock all the pale skinned people up. Remember Judge Brown in Auckland? You probably don't remember him anyway. But no, you'd have a good case before an honest judge that, you know, you thought, well, was it the St. John's ambulance chasing me, or was it, you know, the Red Cross or something? Because it doesn't, it was some foreign name on it. I can't remember. What did it say? Pokahuka or something?
Pokahuka.
Was it? What a crazy country we live in. Can you believe it? They're speaking in this foreign language.
This is becoming conditioned. We're becoming conditioned to be two separate people. And you think of our national anthem.
I know. It says men of every creed and race gather here before thy face.
The problem
is, we're supposed to be New Zealanders, aren't we?
Well, this is just it. If you look at the United Nations agenda worldwide, the so-called indigenous world indigenous, I think they are not, they don't call themselves native peoples. I forget the actual international term for it, but the indigenous peoples of the world.
The savages.
Well, could be. But I'm being serious now. They have signed a treaty, and it's with the United Nations, and it to recognise Indigenous, not rights, but to make them prominent in each of these lands, and the nation is bound by sanctions if they don't incorporate into their constitutions, into their lands, this native indigenous treaty. Yes,
that's I see exactly now. Why. That makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Now I understand why they're doing it. Yeah. I can understand now why they're doing it, because I thought it's just madness. I thought just thought they'd all lost their marbles, but now I can see money
involved. This is a plot. This is a plot. This is why you have cancel culture. I mean, Black lives matter. So do white lives. Every life matters.
Yeah.
If you're a godly person, you will believe that every life, all life, is precious to God. Now, what's that? Why do I raise that? Because this Black Lives movement, we were treated to scenes of pulling statues down. They tried to pull Abraham Lincoln's statue down. They tried to pull down a statue of Aunt Betty and Uncle Ben, the Aunt Betty's baking and the Uncle Ben's rice. And they've had to change their names, believe it or not, because what people don't realize is these thugs were pulling down statues of people that were their advocates, that were against black slavery, and they're symbols of, advocates against slavery. It's just pathetic. It's all fueled by these elites. And I'll name one, George Soros. He goes around the world and he pays for professional, he pays people to rise up. And that is that's his whole agenda. This is the sort of thing we're having to deal with in this country, but all over the world, Australia, classic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's getting really
bad. He pays them to be thugs, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Basically.
He does.
He's a mongrel, that George Soros. He's an absolutely horrible creature. I mean, was it his uncle that led him around by the nose to round up Jews? And he's a Jew himself. Round up Jews during the Second World War.
It was his father.
Oh, his father. Oh, good grief. And he said that it was one of the most happiest times of his life, rounding up the Jews.
Has no regrets. And they went to the gas chambers.
Oh, no.
He betrayed his whole family.
Oh, my goodness. And that he's quite proud of it, isn't he, that horrible old creature?
He is, absolutely.
And he's the one that's paying thugs, like, up in Oregon there, those thugs that were, took over the town. After Biden got in, they acted like absolute imbeciles, didn't they?
They have a name, Grant. They're called Antifa. Anyone listening can look up Antifa.
What does that mean, Antifa?
I'm not quite sure of the letters. I'd have to look it up, but
anti-fascist.
It's a paid uprising, if you like, and they are paid to go in and cause trouble or to infiltrate. For example, in New Zealand, we had an uprising and they occupied the parliamentary lawn, which they're entitled to. They weren't even acknowledged by our Prime Minister at the time. The point is, when the uprising occurred and there were so-called fires lit, the reporters, the honest reporters, caught one of the so-called protesters lighting fire to a bush, and this person called me out and says, "You were doing this protest, I saw you were doing it." you were deliberately lighting that bush on fire. And of course, the person broke out with all sorts of abuse. It was clear that they, clear as day, that they were paid to cause anarchy amongst them and to make those protesters look really bad. So, so that's one example.
Who would pay for that? Who would put them up to that?
I can't prove it, of course, but he's proud of the fact that that he thinks it's his right to do this. That he's
Who's this?
Schwab, George
Soros. Oh, you mean Soros? All right. Do you think he was involved in our in the shenanigans that went on in the final hours of the Wellington occupation of the Parliament grounds? You think there was some George Soros might have been involved in that?
I think so. Why? Really? Because if not, it would be someone linked to him, because people don't realise that this hypocrisy over the oil and deep sea oil drilling and George Soros owns, he's part of the ownership of these deep sea oil drilling ships that go out to drill. He owns part of that company. So he's deeply involved in, we'll put it this way, he was banned from Hungary. He was banned from Australia. He's been banned in Australia. He's been banned in Hungary. That might have changed. I think he's a Hungarian Jew himself. I think that's where he comes from.
I knew he was Jewish. Yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely Jewish. And yeah, so he's been banned from several countries, and I think he was banned from South America. And why was he banned? Because it was recognized that he was promoting anarchy. He was paying, it was paid revolution, basically.
And that's how he makes his money, isn't it? His countries go down and he makes money on the stocks, is that right?
Well, he hates Donald Trump, and I would say why, because Donald Trump's called him out on a number of occasions. If you remember the debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, and Hillary Clinton was demanding the tax return. Why don't you release your tax returns, Donald? Yeah. Anyway, he turned around and he shut her up and he said this. He says, I'm not doing anything that your sponsors aren't doing. And he says, George Soros, he named him. And Hillary Clinton never, ever mentioned, as far as I can ever hear her, in the debates at least, she never, ever raised the tax return issue again, because he spoke the truth. He spoke the truth. George Soros is just as smart when it comes to the tax system as Donald Trump. He's doing nothing different. I'm not saying that he's tarred with the same brush. I'm saying that he is very savvy with money. And that's why he's so wealthy. So,
that's the thing. People often, funny thing is, on this Podbean, there's a lot of anti-Semitic programs that are happening there. South Osmond's one. That guy, Chris Wilson, he comes on. You know, they think they're part of some Aryan race and they're very anti-Semitic. But really, what is with that? What is it with that? I remember when I was 6 years old, 7 years old, and I was in primary school, and we had this teacher, and she said that she brought it up about the Six-Day War. It had just begun. And she said that the Jews have stolen the land off Palestinians, and she said this phrase, they will be pushed into the sea. And I'd never heard it before, and didn't understand the significance as a 6 or 7 year old. I went home and told my parents, and they were just like, absolutely, couldn't believe what was going on. And I think they might have spoken to the headmaster. But anyway, I didn't stay at that school very long. I went to another school. Not surprised. How'd you like your children to be sort of brainwashed into anti-Semitism at the age of 6 and 7? So imagine that. So that was what was happening. But fortunately, my parents were, you know, they talked a lot. My dad, you know, at 6 and 7, I knew quite a lot about Israel already at that age, you know, because he did such a good job of teaching us the Bible. And anyway, so we ended up going to another school. But I didn't understand the significance of the push them into the sea until I was about 20, late 20s. And that's exactly what the Arabs say in Gaza and, you know, in those places. They say they want to push the Arabs into the sea. Sorry, push the Jews into the sea. That's their language. So well, what does that mean? They want to annihilate them.
If anyone doesn't believe that the Bible is the written word of God, then they need to read Psalm 83 and see that all the wicked players that are around Israel today are mentioned in that psalm. And if anyone has any doubts, they need to read the first line, which says exactly that, "Let us wipe Israel off the map." And that was written, what, 3,000 years ago?
Are you saying that that's in the Bible, in Psalm? Yes, and what part of the Bible?
Let's have a read of it. Psalm 8:3.
Oh, all right. Are you looking it up?
Have you got it in front of you?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Well, I suppose I could have a gander.
Yeah.
Let's have a gander. Let's have a look. I've got a little Bible.
Amazing thing
phone.
About that, Grant. I'll let you have a read of it first. Have a look.
Yeah, no, you carry on talking while I find it.
Well, to the listener, Psalm 83 is about a battle between Israel and the nations that surround her. And that's their goal, to make war and to destroy her. And but it's a very descriptive battle, and the outcome is Israel wins. And well, why should we be surprised? Because we don't write the rules, and but the God of the universe, the creator of the world, he writes the rules. And I don't know why he chose Israel as his country, but he did. And the war between Israel, the Jewish people, and the world has been from day one. And it's a spiritual battle. And I hazard to say, if the Jews were Swedish, it would be a battle between Sweden and the rest of the world. I mean, why are two-thirds of the mandates written by the UN against Israel? I mean, there are far worse countries. I'm not saying I agree with everything that goes on over there, but I've been there a number of times. I've seen both sides, Palestinian side and the Israel side of things, and I know where I would feel safest, put it that way. But Grant's just looking at Psalm 83 for us so we can hear it.
Well, it's very interesting, because it's pretty much exactly what that horrible old bat school teacher was teaching the class when I was 6 and 7 years old. No wonder my parents took me away from that school. It says here, Psalms 83, I'll read from verse 1. It's only 18 verses, but it says here, "Keep not thou silent, O God, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God, for lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and that they, I don't know what's happening in the reading today. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They have are confederate against thee." They are, aren't they? They've all joined, all Absolutely. The Arab nations have joined together. "The tabernacles of Eden and of the Ishmaelites." Of course, we know Ishmael was the the brother of Isaac. So Ishmael's mother was Hagar, the Jewish Egyptian handmaiden who Abraham slept with, and his wife obviously wanted, well, she wanted him to, they were going to help God out too, because he promised them a child, and that they never received it. So they thought, well, we'll grab old Hagar and you can have one with her, trying to help God out. But of course God did come through and gave them a child, but unfortunately they ended up with Ishmael as well, who was the first son of the Arabs, which is where all the problems came from, really, for the Israelites. And then Moab and the Hagarines. Well, who are they? The Hagarines. Hagarines. You know who they are?
What does the name imply? Hagar. Oh,
of course. That's right. Hagar. That's Ishmael's mother, her family.
Yeah.
And so they are all just at war with Israel. They want to wipe them off the face of the earth.
Yes. And you'll hear, if you go back, Ahmadinejad, I call him.
Yep.
Can't get a job. That's what I call him. and he was the president of Iran. I'm not sure if he is now, but he said that exact thing. The line that you quoted, "Let us wipe them off the map," word for word, and then he shouted. Would you believe this? In the parliament, the Iranian parliament, they said, death to the USA and death to Israel. Well, that's astounding, isn't it? Who in their right mind would do that?
You'd have to just be mental, wouldn't you? Or demonic.
Well, I do believe that they are not, that they are out of control. They're not in their right minds. So, but anyway,
Well, we started off talking about these funny cars that were strange writing on the side of them in our country, and they look like toy police cars. They've got all the lights on top, but they've got this foreign language. It's probably Maori, I think, isn't it? Is that what it is with Maori language?
I recognise that it is Maori. However, I don't know what it says, so I don't recognise its authority.
But who drives them? You know, who's in them? Is it New Zealand Defence, New Zealand Police Force, or is it the Maori Wardens?
I suspect that it's a new force that we haven't. Oh, I think it's a Maori police force, based on the fact that they now have co-governance. It's already here, and they have
a separate. We're naked, really, aren't we?
A healthcare system. And they have a separate, they're trying to govern the water and energy of New Zealand. So it's all out of hand, if you ask me. But it's all part of the United Nations agenda to cause racial divide and to cause counterculture. Counterculture. That is
so actually, they're doing this with every so-called indigenous culture of every country of the world, or the Western world. It's really sort of like the war on the West, isn't it?
Absolutely. Particularly the United States, because once again, the Bible features here, because if you can cause the United States to fail in any way, shape, form, they're trying desperately to make the United States fall because they're the bastion to preventing the world government. And that's
yes,
exactly
because
what's
it was
going.
Trump that came out at United Nations and said that we're patriotic Americans, and you know our government have we will not join your one world government. Was it, or did he say that, or did he say you're globalists? I think he said globalists,
He says he named America as a sovereign nation and not subject to their rules, and short of pulling out of the United Nations altogether.
So I don't think I really understood what a globalist was. You know, I just thought being globalist was all about trade, you know, it was a good thing. Well, but it's not really good, is it?
No, they've taken the term. It's like the word gay. The word gay used to be a perfectly innocent term. It still is a perfectly innocent term. However, it has new connotations. So the word globalist was someone who believed in global trade, and to a certain extent, that's how the world exists. However, globalist now has come to mean a ceding of sovereignty. If you're patriotic to one country, your nation, then you're not a citizen of the world, and somehow you're a villain. It's
Robert Malone. He said, you know, these globalists believe in, they sort of, the nation state is an anathema to them, and they want to destroy it, and they believe in a one world government, and they want, as you say, to us to in sovereign countries to cede their sovereignty to this foreign power. And exactly. I don't know, is it the United Nations, or is it the European Union, or is it the World Economic Forum? And who do we see to? It's the United Nations.
It's the United Nations because they, we'll put it this way, they have a lot of power because they make membership countries sign edicts, sign treaties. And what that does is it supersedes the authority of the individual nation, because, for example, farmers in New Zealand will have to curtail to the global requirements under the Treaty for Climate Change in Paris, the Paris Accord, because if they don't, the whole country of New Zealand faces sanctions. That is the penalty for nation states that break that treaty. Yeah, that's a fact. So they'll be subject to sanctions.
So really, if we let's say, for example, Brian Tamaki, who I really like now, if he got in, say his party got in, his umbrella party got in and actually took over, you know, became the dominant force, what would happen? What would the globalists do? What would be their counter? How would they counter that? What would they do to us?
Well, I'm not sure. Say Brian Tamaki,
who's anti-globalist.
Well, they could slap sanctions on us. They tried this with America when Donald Trump was in. He said, "I'm pulling out of the Paris Treaty," and he says America has some of the most efficient systems in the world. Other nations aren't obeying this. China, India, for example, big polluters. So he said, "I'm pulling us out of that treaty." He also pulled America out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, because why should any of us as nations sell ourselves down the road, thinking that somehow that this free trade agreement's going to be good for us? That's not how it worked years ago. Why should it work any differently now? You do a trade agreement and it's between your country and the other country. Free,
yes, exactly.
Put it this way. I used to live in Canada, and there was a free trade agreement between the States and Mexico and Canada, and there was a saying that free trade agreements basically allow armies to cross your borders. we were the world's first country to have a free trade agreement with China, and I think we're owned by China personally in New Zealand.
Even now?
Yep, even. You can see it in our Prime Minister. She was very, very slow to criticise China. And she was letting the Chinese come into New Zealand with COVID-19. She continued to do it.
Yeah.
So whether that was, I believe that was because they call shots. So I might be wrong. This is just discussion. We should be able to have intelligent discussion. We should be able to have free speech.
Well, I don't know about intelligent, but we certainly have discussions, don't we?
Well, it's not uncouth to call it.
You might be intelligent.
Oh, well, no, when I say intelligent conversation, I mean, we're quietly talking about things that are happening in our world. And we're not ranting and raving. We're not preaching anything that's not in the news. We're just trying to analyze from a, I think a biblical perspective, what's going on in our world, which is so current, you know?
Yes, yeah. Now, let's talk about Hawke's Bay for a moment, if you don't mind.
That's all right. Grant.
Come back into any subject you like at any time. But Hawke's Bay, with Cyclone Gabrielle, what's happening to those poor people now? Are they getting their lives back together? Are they still, we've got mud everywhere, or is that being sort of sorted out? How are they coping, those poor people?
There has been an awful lot of, they've been able to do a lot of clearance through their own community work. The communities in New Zealand are very hardy. They set up one part of New Zealand which was totally cut off. They're not even able to get one of these bridges, these makeshift bridges. So they set up a rope system, and they have a raft, raft which they use a pulley system, a rope system across the river, and that's how they're getting supplies across to the other side. And it's working. It's amazing. Incredible. But yes, silt is a big problem. They can't get enough tow truck drivers in Hawke's Bay, because there's so many cars and things that need to be towed out of the silt. So, it's happened before, as I said.
It has happened before, in 1938, wasn't it?
Yeah, just as bad, if not worse.
Yeah.
And recently, for anyone listening from a foreign country, even they ought to look at us as an example and see what's actually happening in New Zealand. But it's been recently discovered that our weather department, called NIWA, National Institute of Weather, they have deliberately left data from ships' logs and captains from the 1800s using barometers. They've deliberately left that data off in favour of more recent storms, and so consequently they can provide the narrative that climate change is a more recent phenomena, whereas if you look at the pattern, New Zealand has had far worse storms in the past. The reason it seems so bad now is because there's a lot more people and a lot more insurance claims, things like that. So, we really need us to think, are we being told the truth? Because it's very oppressive and it's a tax, if you ask me. So we just have to be. And, you know, you seem to be in the right when you speak against the recognized norms, the zeitgeist, if you like, the way of thinking, suddenly you're a villain. You're a climate criminal. So this is, once again, a United Nations agenda, and it's nothing new. Yes, there is such a thing as climate change. If you observe what's been going on in the world for, I'd say, thousands of years, the 1970s, we were told there was going to be an ice age at the turn of the century. So did we have an ice age? I'd love to see some global warming over in Newfoundland at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they're buried in snow. So, you know. Oh.
So it's just a load of greeny nonsense.
Well, there is a certain amount of it's hard to pin it down as a science, but it's been used against people. It's curtails freedoms. People give up their freedoms. It drives people to give up their freedoms. For example, the food growers of New Zealand are protesting, as they are in Holland and other places, Sri Lanka, because they have been put under extreme regulations to meet climate change requirements. Well, if there's no food, people die. You know, no fuel, people can't get food. No fuel, no food. No farmers, no food. And this is what's going on worldwide. You've got to look at it and say, who's behind this?
They're trying to do it here, aren't they? Like with the chickens. Are. There's something weird going on with my chickens. I mean, I had about 18 chickens, and then all of a sudden, they just stopped laying eggs. And I don't know whether it was the food they were getting. Some people are saying that the food has been poisoned or poisoning the chickens or something, and they're not eating properly. I don't know whether that's true or not, but my chickens aren't laying eggs, and apparently there's a bit of a worldwide shortage of eggs.
Well, that's very interesting. I'd have to do some research into that. Certainly,
look that up, because others are saying that there's something in the feed, and apparently most of the feed is controlled by about one or two companies in America. And so, you know, maybe they're putting something in the feed. And that's funny, because my son said these hens, they went off the lay with that food. They didn't like that food. So as soon as you started giving it to them, they stopped laying their eggs. And we were getting a good number. Now I'm getting just a few every one or two a day, you know, out of about, I'm down to 10 hens at the moment because I had some naughty ones. They were eating the eggs. So I sort them out.
Very interesting. They're now saying, and I'd like to verify this. I haven't been able to verify it, but it's of interest, the fact that eggs are very effective at fighting COVID-19. And the powers
don't
like this. They don't like this.
That might be why we've got a shortage of eggs.
I think it might be.
Mm.
Needs further investigation.
Very interesting.
But it's a very interesting suggestion.
Yes, good grief. That's interesting. And have you noticed that there's been in the news a whole lot of chicken, a lot of food manufacturing plants have burnt to the ground in the last month? I think there's about over 100 of them.
Yeah, that's been happening all over the world. Very interesting. But not only that, the latest coming out, they're saying that the next pandemic might well be bird flu. Now, why would they bring that back again? I find that fascinating.
Do you think they'll try any more on sort of health epidemic type lockdowns? Or do you think they'll go with the climate change agenda?
If that is the case, local governments or our government would have ceded authority to the World Health Organization, who recently were attempting to become the worldwide authority and only authority for pandemic survival. So they would be able to call the shots, and we wouldn't be subject to New Zealand law. It would be bypassed by international law, World Health Organization. Somehow that has been stopped, but apparently it is an ongoing tenant of the World Health Organization. They don't just want to be advisors, they want to control what happens. So once again, it's a case for world domination by these organizations. I can name them. World Economic Forum, World Monetary Fund, World Bank. World banks, most of them are owned by these elites, Rothschild. It's interesting that the Central Bank of Russia is not owned by any of these global elites. And the only currency that Russia will trade in is the ruble. So that's very interesting.
Yeah. It is very interesting. So what about weather warfare? Do you think those people that talk about weather manipulation, do you think they're loonies or do you think there's something to it?
Well, there are recognized scientists that disagree with climate change. And the most they would say is that seeding of clouds is possible. However, trying to control where those clouds go is another matter. So to a certain extent, man can manipulate the weather, but whether it can be done in such a manner as to direct clouds and storms, that is very controversial. So to a certain extent, I think it is possible, but maybe not as much as people think. But there's no doubt in my mind that if you look out, and New Zealand doesn't have a great deal of jets flying over it, and yet you will see vapor trails, many vapor trails going across our skies. So, and I don't think the likes of Bill Gates would come out and say that he's planning to cool as in COOL. My accent is a bit, people might not understand, but COOL, the atmosphere, using lime, using calcium carbonate, I believe that he was going to use, silicon? It was designed to prevent the sun's rays from getting through the atmosphere. But of course, has he done this? I don't know. But for Bill Gates to be talking about it would suggest that it can be done. So, that might answer the question. I don't trust him at the best of times. So, but if he's talking about it, why would he even be talking about it if it wasn't possible? You know? So we've just got to be logical in all this and look and see. We need to be thinking people, to not be manipulated into thinking things, to see. You know, people talk about misinformation. Well, I say it's missing information. For example, NIWA, I come back to NIWA, it's a government-funded organization. It shouldn't be. And you can't get statistics from NIWA. You have to sign a confidentiality agreement to get these statistics. You know, it's pathetic. Why is that happening in New Zealand? Recently in Ireland, the same thing happened. The weather service over there had released statistics, and they stopped releasing statistics because they said that the mathematicians out there could misinterpret the results. Now, why would they take on professional mathematicians, statisticians, and say that they would misinterpret results unless they're trying to feed them some sort of false narrative, some sort of fake statistics. You know, it's very interesting. When people aren't open and honest about things, you've got to be suspicious. No wonder we're suspicious. That's how I think anyway. I'm sure you do too, Grant.
Yes, well, thank you very much, John. That's marvellous. And so this is Grant Edwards and John G signing off until next time here on Liberty NZ.